captured here in my quotation marks. I'm giving you a long look every day, every day, every day, every day I write the book.
Oh, how appropriate for tonight's topic. Every day I write the book, Elvis Costello, 1983. I love this song. I could sing it all day, every day. Oh, man, what a guy. Anyway, tonight's topic, well, first of all, let's get some business out of the way here. Today's date is in January 7, 2011, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The doctor is for Ph.D. in history from the College of William and Mary. You know, we were going to go ahead and yesterday I planned to wrap up the talk about the czars. But I think we pretty much exhausted the czars topic. But I do have something else that sort of ties into that. And it's asking the two-year question, not the age-old question, but the two-year question is Barack Obama the Antichrist? Well, if you subscribe to the Book of Revelations and if you really pay close attention and if you really want to, you could make a good case for Barack Obama being the Antichrist. Let's delve into that just a little. Well, you know, the way I see it, and I'm going to go ahead and quote some scripture here. No man knows when the world will end. Indeed, the time of the end of the world was not even communicated by the Father to the human nature of the Son, Matthew 24.36. However, in the Gospels of the Son of God, well, in the Gospel, the Son of God does tell us of the signs which must come to pass before the end of the world. What are these signs? And what conclusions, however hesitant, can we draw from them about the times in which we live? The 12 signs that must come to pass before the end are given as follows. Many will come in the name of Christ and deceive many. Matthew 24.5, Mark 13.6, and Luke 21.8. There will be wars and rumors of wars between nations and kingdoms. Matthew 24.6 and 7, 6 through 7. Mark 13.7, 7 through 8. Luke 21.9 through 10. The first sorrows will be in the form of calamities, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, fearful signs and great signs from heaven. Matthew 24.7 through 8, Mark 13.8, and Luke 21 and 11. Orthodox Christians will be delivered up, killed, and hated by all nations. Matthew 24.9, Mark 13.9 through 11, Luke 21.12 through 15. Now, I've just quoted four. And do we not see these things happening daily? Perhaps the war on Christians, Christmas, with atheists and a variety of other liberals suing
the government to have crosses removed from places they've been for, in some cases, 50, 75 years. And birds seemingly falling from the sky with no reasonable explanation given. Not just here in the United States, because that whole thing about the birds falling out of the sky because of the fireworks. Well, a similar happening occurred in Italy and parts of Europe where there were no fireworks. Fish, thousands by the thousands, bubbling up out of the sea and washing ashore dead. This is all recent news. Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes, they've all occurred within the last couple of years. Great signs from heaven. Wars and rumors of wars between nations and kingdoms, of course, that's been occurring since time began. But yet, with alarming frequency these days. Many will come in the name of Christ and deceive many. Well, that's happening. We know that. Let's move on. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Matthew 24:11. On account of abundant iniquity, evil deeds, and unrepentant sin, the love of many will grow cold. Only those who endure to the end will be saved. Matthew 24:12-13. Mark 13:13. Luke 21:19. Interesting. On account of abundant iniquity, evil deeds, and unrepentant sin, the love of many will grow cold. The gospel will be preached throughout the world for a witness unto all nations. Matthew 24:4, Mark 13:10. After this, Jews will become Orthodox Christians. Romans 11:25-28. Preparations will be made for the coming of Antichrist, called the Son of Perdition and the Beast, preceded by false prophets and false signs and wonders. Antichrist will be a master of illusion, of shock and awe, taking away people's freedom, but making them think they have all been freed. He will persecute the true servants of Christ with rage and fury. The temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt for him to be enthroned there in the place of Christ, hence his name, Antichrist. He will come in the place of Christ. Matthew 24:15-24, Mark 13:14-22, John 2:18, Revelation 13:1-8. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Preparations will be made for the coming of Antichrist, called the Son of Perdition and the Beast, preceded by false prophets, perhaps, and false signs and wonders. Obama said that upon his election, that the seas would rend and the clouds would dissipate, and the earth would heal. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And that all would be right and made whole again, as he is elected President of the United States. He will persecute the true servants of Christ with rage and fury. Well, although we have not seen signs that the president has done any such thing, certainly there are people in his cabinet who have done so. Many of his czars, with whom I have called out over the course of this week. He has, in the media, Obama, taken the place of Christ in many ways. He had been labeled Christ-like. There was an article in the New York Times that stated clearly that, well, the article wondered why folks were making such a big deal of President Obama's background as a community organizer. And the article stated, wasn't Christ a community organizer? Equating then Senator Obama with Christ himself. There have been portraits, captions, articles, pictures of Barack Obama, Christ-like, halo overhead, or perhaps even, yes, a thorny crown in some pictures. If you haven't seen them, they're out there. There's even a picture of Barack Obama riding down Pennsylvania Avenue on a donkey in Christ garb with a thorny crown over his head. Signs will appear in the heavens. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The seas and the waves will roar, and the power of heaven will be shaken. Matthew 24:29, Mark 13:24-25, Luke 21:25-26. The sign of the Son of Man, the cross, will appear in the heavens, and then will take place the second coming of Christ with power and great glory. Angels will be sent and shall gather the elect together from the four winds. Matthew 24:30-31. Mark 13:26-27, Luke 21:27. Wow, so much to think about tonight. As we look and we read and we hear and we see, hence look and see, same thing, we may be tempted to think that the first half of these signs, the first six, have already come to pass. Concerning the first sign, over the centuries, many have indeed come, saying that they are Christ. And yes, they have deceived many. As regards the second sign, the 20th century, especially, but already the beginning of the 21st century, have been marked by wars and rumors of wars. The third sign, natural, i.e. unnatural, disasters have been taking place. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes are occurring all over the world. Fourthly, Orthodox Christians have everywhere been delivered up, killed, and hated. The fifth sign has also appeared, for the modern world seems to be full of hatred and betrayal. Sixth, false prophets already abound and deceive many. However, there are those who would go beyond this interpretation. They would say that we are now already three quarters of the way to the end with the revelation of the three next signs. For them, the seventh sign, iniquity, now abounds, and the love of many is indeed growing cold. Think about that for a moment. And, of course, the eighth sign, too, is now underway. For the gospel is being preached throughout the world. As with the freeing of Russia and global population movements, Orthodox Christianity is now spreading throughout the world. A time is coming when there will be no man who has not heard of the Orthodox Church. As regards to the ninth point, the fact is also that many Jews, in Russia at least, have in recent years been baptized into the Orthodox Church. So, if this is the case, then we are now awaiting the preparation for the tenth sign. What can we say about this? The final preparation for the coming of Antichrist. Certainly, there is now an abundance of false prophets claiming to speak in the name of Christ throughout modern technology, signs and wonders unthinkable, even a few years ago, now take place. As the father of lies, John 8:44, Antichrist, master plan of illusion is everywhere in evidence. Wouldn't you agree? For example, it is present throughout the propaganda or spin of modern media, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, I won't include Fox News, fair and balanced in that. There's advertising and marketing, the conformist drug of television, computer trickery, and other electronic technology, YouTube, anyone? The leveling down of modern education, even learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, Timothy 3:7. Through these instruments of control, the masses are manipulated and enslaved to delusion by those whose interest it is to manipulate them. And wisdom leaves the city, and indeed the world. We have mass media that has been portraying Barack Obama, our president, as a deity, extolling to the world his brilliance and his magnificence and his mastery of oratory, illusion. Imagine that we are still free. No, the masses are enslaved in debt. This debt is cleverly concealed under the illusion of its opposite, credit. The freedom to buy whatever we want, whenever we want. But, as we can see, today, there is a price to pay. Through apostasy from faith in the risen Christ, apostles lose their freedom. They lose their freedom from the fear of death, the resurrection faith, which is now everywhere being denied. These apostles, fearing boldly death, will be psychologically enslaved to the master of illusion. Some of them believe the master is Barack Obama. I am not so sure. Antichrist will come to occupy the now vacant throne in men's souls. Fierce persecution of the last remaining servants of Christ, still faithful to the resurrection and resistant of Antichrist will begin. What are we to think? Many cynics will dismiss what I'm saying as mere panic mongering. They will say that many have already announced the end and become laughing stocks. This is true, but they become laughing stocks because they do not know the scriptures and they're ignoring Christ's own words that no man knows of that day and hour. Matthew 24:36. They imagine the precise dates of the end of the world. From this we learn that it's always foolish to do that. Other cynics will say that others have predicted the end without giving a precise date and still been found wrong. However, many of these did not predict the end of the world, but the end of a world, i.e. the United States of America, our world. This happened as prophesied in A.D. 70 with the sack of Jerusalem by the Romans and the end of the world of the Jews. This happened in 1066 when English people saw signs and understood that their world was coming to an end with the sack of England by the Normans. This happened again in 1917 when Russian people saw the iniquity around them and understood that their world was coming to an end with the sack of Russia by the Bolsheviks. Those who in such cases predicted the end of the world were indeed found right and vindicated. Is our world coming to an end? And is Barack Hussein Obama Antichrist? And will he be the author of the end of our world? Yet other cynics will say that others have predicted the imminent end of the world without giving a precise date and still been found wrong. However, if such people care to consider these warnings, they will always find that the warnings were given conditionally. In other words, they always said that the world will end if there is no repentance. The inevitable events prophesied by Christ in the Gospels, it can be found Well, it can be put forward or put back. We have the freedom. The freedom either to hasten the coming of Antichrist or to deny him, i.e. the November elections, which will, if by some severe stretch Obama turned out to be the Antichrist, well, one could argue that his destruction has been slowed just a bit. But what Congress, what person could slow down prophecy if the prophecy is true? Well, let's talk about Barack Obama himself now, and we'll throw in a little scripture here and there for the last 32 minutes of this show. Barack Obama seems to have set the world on fire with his brilliant intelligence, captivating charm, inspiring oratory and charisma. All the traits that my Rottweiler Nick happens to possess in his own way. But by sheer coincidence, Obama seems to possess many of the traits attributed to the Antichrist by those who research and analyze such things, such as myself. In particular, the following attributes. Well, they come from they come from me. They seem to match Obama quite well. Attributes listed in a book I'm currently writing. I am not inferring that Obama is the Antichrist, nor will I imply that the president might devolve into said rascal at some future date. In fact, Obama's name, well, we won't even mention it. We'll just, not right now. According to my research, the Antichrist will be, among other things, he will rise from a subnational leadership position. Community coordinator in Illinois, perhaps? Have powerful supporters helping him rise to power. Oprah, Winfrey, Warren Buffett, George Soros, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Most members of the Kennedy clan, and approximately 99% of the black population stand behind Obama. Oops, I mentioned his name. Sorry. It's a powerful team. Be shrewd, cunning, deceitful, and skilled in intrigue. Obama is even more. He's clean and articulate. Be generally different or unique amongst politicians. His racial profile makes him the perfect match for that one. Be a great unifier who appeals to people across traditional lines. Even some conservatives are buying into Obama's act, so he fits that one. Be a Christian, at least by appearance. Now we're getting somewhere. Notwithstanding Pastor Jeremiah Wright, Obama claims to be Christian, and yet he announced in the Muslim world that he is Muslim. Be preceded by an aggressive warmonger who will forcefully deposed two Middle Eastern governments. Well, even liberals will see the match with this one. Arise from a great nation with unrivaled wealth and power. Well, that just happens to be the good old United States of America. Perhaps all of this is sheer coincidence. Still, in my view, Obama bears careful watching, especially if he starts stamping 666 on the foreheads of adoring masses. Oh, yeah. Okay. The book of Revelation reveals that at some point in time, the Antichrist will be able to track and control all financial transactions. Sounds familiar? And no man will be able to buy or sell anything unless he has the mark of the beast. He also forces everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark of his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he has the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13:16-17. Think about this. President Barack Obama has demanded that everyone buy health insurance by 2014 or face, at the very least, a stiff fine. It is law, at least for now. Now, that doesn't quite come close to the mark of the beast, but it's something to consider. No one knows how the mark will be imprinted on the hand or the forehead. And I'm not saying everything described here will necessarily become the mark of the beast. What I am saying and warning you about is that whatever the mark of the beast turns out to be, and however it is implemented, you are being prepared today to accept it without question. This administration is putting the pieces in place. Numerous things, well, including barcode labels and social security numbers, have been identified in the past as the mark of the beast and have been proven wrong. Rather, those technologies were precursors to later technologies even more powerful in the hands of the Antichrist. Given rapidly evolving modern technology, if the Lord tarries a bit longer, there may be some new development that will fit the bill even more closely. Modern technology has created a brave new electronic world without borders. With modern computer technology, satellites, GPS, biometrics, smart card technology, people can now be tracked within 3 feet anywhere in the world. Consider that. Advances in technology, in digital technology specifically, have made it possible now to engineer an identification system capable of monitoring virtually every human transaction. Indeed, Antichrist world government is not only believable, but many have actually, well, it may have actually arrived. Think about what we talked about, or what I spoke about with the science czar, Mr. Holdren, and what his plans are and what his visions are for the future. How, in his mind, in his vision, abortions can occur up to the age of 2. And he believes that too many people on the planet will cause world famines and billions will die, so that population control is necessary. And he has a plan to eliminate a great many of the world's population, or to prevent babies from being born. These are his actual words. In the wake of events following September 11, 2001, the monitoring and tracking of people have become commonplace, and huge databases are being compiled on each and every one of us. The American and British governments have essentially eliminated personal privacy and is now collecting data and tracking its citizens in nearly everything we do. Think about the TSA situation that occurred over the course of the last couple of months, and what simply taking an airplane ride to visit Granny will cost you in terms of your freedom. Telephone conversations are being recorded. Emails are being read. Tweets and instant messages on social networking sites are being monitored. Every purchase you make is being documented, and your movements are being tracked with GPS in your car and your mobile phone. And I am being recorded right now. And somebody is listening. And not to mention, we're being recorded by monitoring cameras all around us, driving our cars to work or even to the grocery store or the park. Our movements and access to resources are being controlled. And in many cases, we citizens are being deprived of our constitutional rights in the name of safety and security, as evidenced by the TSA, Transportation Security Administration. And they warn that any would-be commercial airline passenger who enters an airport checkpoint and refuses to be subjected to the method of inspection designated by
Janet Napolitano.
Doesn't she sound sexy when she talks? Doesn't she really? My goodness. It just makes you want to break out, just get buck naked, and put on some Barry White music every time she opens her mouth. But I digress. So, a passenger who enters an airport and refuses the search by the TSA will not be allowed to fly, and also will not be permitted to simply leave the airport. You're hostage. Either you accept the search, the groping, or the picture taking, buck naked pictures, and or at least a really, really detailed, very detailed outline of yourself. You can't leave the airport. You're a captive. Americans may be arrested and fined up to $11,000 if they refuse to cooperate with the government's invasive and humiliating techniques. Of course, the safety and security argument made by the TSA to advance their unconditional agenda is totally bogus, as the real community or continuity of agenda is rooted in the Antichrist system of command and control. While most of the control is now being exerted by Homeland Security over access to public facilities and transportation, the day is not far off when globalists will also control world food and water supplies and other necessary things necessary to live. The UN-sponsored Codex Alimeritus is quickly becoming the controlling entity of everything that provides nutrition to humans. People will ultimately be required to either accept the mark of the beast or starve to death. That time is fast approaching. It's not conspiracy, it's not biblical lunacy. We see it. We witness it every single day, and all that is required is that one pay attention to one's surroundings and what is going on. We get into our cars in the morning to drive to work, a lot of us, and the first thing we do is turn on the radio and to hot 105 or hot 109 or hot 706 or whatever, and we're jamming and bobbing our heads up and down the road about our boring, dreary day, and very few of us bother to turn on the news and listen to what is going on around us. We are oblivious to it. And the Antichrist knows, be it Barack Hussein Obama or some other would-be deity. He knows, or it knows, that you're not paying attention. That in your mind, you have bigger fish to fry than the thought that as you slowly make your way to work on Monday morning, that you're being tracked and monitored from the time you leave your home, at least until the time you return to it. I believe the most important point is that each of the technologies developed is moving the world closer to the ultimate tool to be used by the Antichrist, be it Barack Hussein Obama or someone or something else. And perhaps even more importantly is that as each technology is embraced by our society, people will all, or, well, people of all stripes are being conditioned to ultimately accept the mark of the beast. Because a lot of us simply, and this has been a mantra of mine since this show began, a lot of us simply either don't care or we simply don't take the time to care because we are so very busy wrapped up in our daily lives that, well, I don't have time to worry about that. I got other things going on. Oh, that's just nonsense. Oh, that's just crazy. That's crazy talk. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I call those people ignorant. I call those people sheep. And worse, I call those people victims. We have already demonstrated our willingness to accept devices to electronically tag or track individuals. It's become commonplace, for example, for law enforcement agencies to require individuals to wear electronic bracelets in order to monitor their activities. The traveling public have accepted the notion of abandoning their constitutional rights at the airport and be subjected to intrusive bodily searches in exchange for perceived safety. The Department of Homeland Security is conditioning the public to accept a global biometric plan Barcodes are everywhere. They are as familiar as a trip to the grocery store, which I took today and checked out during the self-checkout line. And I scanned the barcode across the little device, and boom, there was the price and the name of the article I purchased. Where does that information go, one wonders? And then I swiped my debit card. Where does that information go? So now, it is well known what I purchased, exactly, who I am, how much I spent, what bank I use, and probably all sorts of information that I know absolutely nothing about. Every package that crosses the supermarket, drugstore, and retail counter, barcodes and other related technology stand poised to move into many other facets of society. It's just the beginning. In their quest for better device identification, the U.S. Department of Defense and NASA are testing coding systems that pack in as much more information than the current barcodes. These new two-dimensional barcodes can squeeze in enough information to fit the Gettysburg Address into a 2-inch square. That is fact. This next generation of identification codes needs no centralized database. Instead, the symbol itself can contain all the necessary information. Thus, these codes can help companies and the military keep better track of products that cross organizational boundaries. When the device, substance, or person travels to a new warehouse, store, hospital, or any other location, all its data go along in compact form, accessible to anyone with a machine that can read the symbol. And the Obama administration has pushed for all of our medical records to be electronic so that we, the consumer, can carry our medical information with us on perhaps a memory stick. Take it to the doctor and he plugs it in and there you have it. Or, as the Obama administration has recently implemented, that our medical information, all of it, is stored somewhere within the government's databases. And in 2014, all that a physician need do is access that database, and here we are. Well, Dr. Jones had the clap in 1982. I see that. Well, you know, could go on and on. Of course, I didn't have the clap, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think you get the point. A portable data file. That's what it is. For example, at the Wilford Hall U.S. Air Force Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, which I visited recently, hospital administrators expect that within a year, patients will carry ID cards with their medical histories and personal data encoded on the back. The hospital has evaluated other types of codes, including current barcodes, but discovered with the two-dimensional format that we didn't need to tie up their database memory. Well, things are moving right along, folks. And then, there's the Real ID Act, supported by both Democrats and Republican politicians, says that They say that driver's licenses and other ID cards must include a digital photograph, anti-counterfeiting features, and undefined machine-readable technology with defined minimum data elements that could include a magnetic strip. We've seen those on our driver's licenses before. With this and with this implementation, American citizens without driver's licenses that conform to the federal standards find themselves essentially stripped of their ability to participate in everyday life as we know it. Americans, well, can't get a job, open a bank account, apply for Social Security or Medicare, exercise their Second Amendment rights, or even take an airplane flight unless they can produce a state-issued ID that conforms to federal specifications. Remember when there was a time when, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a time in as far as 1994 when I could go through a newspaper in the classified section and there was someone who was selling an airplane ticket, an open flight airplane ticket. And that ticket would have the person who's selling the ticket's name on it. And you could go on and buy that ticket from that person at less than the price it would have cost if you got the ticket from the airline itself. Does anyone remember that? I used to do that. And it didn't matter whose name was on the ticket. And I could use the ticket and I could fly. I did that many times. Now, of course, that's quite impossible. And I must admit, for very good reason. The technology now exists and has been successfully tested to allow an identification device of some type, including a tiny microchip, to be implanted under the skin of the hand. The Obama administration is highly touting this new technology. Is that a coincidence? Visible implants could contain biosensors to monitor temperature and blood pressure and display these readings clearly in medical advancement. But the devices could have a more serious purpose. They could be used for electronic tagging. Whenever anyone wanted to buy or sell something, he could be required to wave his hand over a scanning device that would read the chip, identify the buyer or seller, and validate or invalidate the sale. Once again, the Obama administration is putting great emphasis on this technology. Once again, remember when you could get on an airplane and you didn't have to have an ID card? You didn't have to show an ID to get on an airplane. All you needed was a ticket. And where are we today? Think about that for a moment. I know there are actually some people who are walking around, a great many people who are walking around today who have no idea what I'm talking about. They can't possibly believe it's true. You didn't have to have an ID to get on an airplane? Are you kidding? All you needed was a piece of paper, a ticket, and the ticket could have had somebody else's name on it? You're kidding. No, but it's true. And that time wasn't so long ago. And now, look at what's required for a simple hour-and-a-half airplane ride. Interval Research in Palo Alto has patented a programmable tattoo the biologically inert implant is constructed of a flexible material so as to conform to the skin's surface. The small liquid crystal display can be inserted just beneath the skin in place of a wristwatch. Because human skin is partially transparent, the display is clearly visible. The implant also includes a receiver for receiving programming information from a user and a display for displaying the programming information through the skin. The display is also connected to a control chip and power source, like a small battery. Both are implanted beneath the skin. President Obama toured this facility and pronounced it worthy. Now, be he the Antichrist or some other person, it sure does seem as though President Obama is touting heavily technology that is designed for the purpose of monitoring, tracking, controlling ordinary citizens in a way that will make what the TSA is doing seem like child's play. The other day, I had an opportunity to use an app on my iPad to track the flight of my son, who was going from Chicago back to college. All I needed was the airline and the flight number. I programmed it into the app, and I could, wherever I was in my car. And I watched the plane with my son on it fly across the United States, receiving updates about where the plane was, how high it was, how fast it was going. It's all happening, folks. It's all happening. The end of days are upon us. The time is near. Let's pay attention to what's going on around us. And instead of getting in your car and blasting Jay-Z, well, maybe we should be paying attention to what's going on in the news every single day. All right. Hey, I really do appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. I'd like to get back with you tomorrow. Monday. And we'll continue our discussions about current events, politics, the Antichrist, and all of that. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you on Monday. All right.